Well, it is coming quick. The end of our summer break. A lot quicker than what I anticipated or hoped for. I'm trying to get all of the little things in before the kids go back to school. And I was also thinking about how we might finish up this summer break when it comes to preaching, too. Now, I know this will extend a little bit into when the kids go back to school, but for the next 4 weeks, we are going to hear four different warnings from Jesus. So next 4 weeks, four warnings from Jesus. All four of these warnings come at the end of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. And they deal with some different things. Today, we're going to deal with commitment. Next week, treacherous teaching. After that, faking it. And then finally, the last one, we'll talk about foundations. Jesus had gathered up on the mountain to teach his disciples and all of those that gathered around him. And there were some big questions for the people that gathered there. You know, in Israel, it's not like it is here today. Here today, we might have somebody that never thinks about God. We might have somebody that considers himself an atheist. We might have some religious people, some non-religious people. But back in Israel, in those days, God was on people's minds. This was the people of Israel. They grew up with story after story after story about what God had done through David and many, many others. Jesus has a big question for all of these religious people that were gathered around him to hear his teaching. And the big question that he had for them: will you be a true disciple? Will you be a true disciple? I got the thesaurus out for this four-week series. And the first warning, I'm calling this one the gaping gate. I was looking for something GG, the gaping gate. It comes in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. I will invite you to grab a pew Bible in front of you. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. The pew Bible page number is 1,506. I will also have the words of this scripture on the screen. And certainly if you've brought your own Bible along, feel free to turn to Matthew 7, looking at 13 to 14. Matthew 7. 13 to 14. All right, let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, light up our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that your word becomes truth for us today and that it sinks in down deep into our soul, so that we are built up in faith. Lord, we ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. This is Jesus' first warning at the end of his great sermon. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This is the word of the Lord. When I was growing up, at school we had a grading system. Maybe you had the same grading system when you were in school, or maybe you're in school now and have the same grading system. It started with an F. This is flunking. The kids that got F's, those were the really bad kids. I only got one, so I'm kind of partway in that. So F would be flunking. D, getting a D. In my mind, this is maybe showing up for class, but putting in very little effort. Not really participating. For me, this goes back to middle school. I remember I was very stubborn in middle school. You know, I'm not a man yet, but I'm not a little boy either. I'm kind of in between, and my way of fighting through that is fighting with teachers. And I remember some of my teachers, they would call on me in class. And I would just stare ahead, straight ahead, like they weren't talking, like I didn't hear them. I would provide no response. I would have no answer. I would just completely and utterly and totally ignore them. In middle school, I was a D student. Little to no effort. So you have the F, you have the D. Now, when I got to college, I took on a new motto. My new motto was C's get degrees. C's get degrees. I would do as absolute little as possible to get by with a decent enough grade that I didn't get kicked out. You can ask my wife sometime about some of my projects that I put together. I would do as little as possible. My motto was C's get degrees. So you have the F, you have the D, you have the C. Then we can talk about getting a B. Getting a B, I think that's good. Maybe you're in a class that's the subject's not in your wheelhouse. For me, that would have been math. I wasn't real skilled in math. I took a math class in college one time, and the first test was multiple choice, and I got one or two right out of 100. It's almost statistically impossible, right? I don't know what happened, but I had to drop the class because there was absolutely no way that I was going to recover. So you have the F, you have the D, you have the C, you have the B, and then you have the A. That would be the excellent grade, getting the A. Maybe with that one, the teachers like you. I don't remember that ever happening for me in life, teachers liking me, but apparently for some kids, it works out. I think about my own kids. They get A's. I never got A's. I assume the teachers must like them. So, at school, we had different grades. Now, when we think about people, sometimes we like to assign different grades to the people that we meet every day. And when we think about grading people, maybe the first group that you think of are the really bad people. Really bad. We're talking about murderers and those kinds of folks. They would be in the really bad category. And then after that, maybe for you, you have maybe the next grade up would be mostly bad. Haven't committed any murders or anything like that, but maybe they are a career criminal in and out of jail over and over and over again. Just can't live without being in prison. So really bad, mostly bad, and then maybe the next grade would be somebody that's kind of bad. Maybe this would be the grumpy neighbor that you don't get along with. Your kid kicks their ball over this guy's fence, and don't for a second think that you're going to climb that fence and go get that ball. So maybe that next grade is kind of bad. And then maybe you have another grade for people in your mind. You have neutral, somebody that's right in the middle. They can be nice, but they can also be mean to you. You got that picture in your mind. And then the next one, maybe you see people as kind of good. Maybe this is the neighbor that mows your lawn every once in a while, just out of the blue. Next one, maybe mostly good. Somebody that is a great volunteer, a great helper, a great person. You kind of look up to them. And then maybe in the really good category, you have somebody like a Mother Teresa type person. So you have this grading system in your mind. Well, we've got grades at school, and maybe for you and maybe for me, we grade people on a scale. But what about grades of Christians? Is this a thing? Grades of Christians? Maybe you know somebody that is a sometimes Jesus. Maybe they've got a Jesus bobblehead on the dashboard of their car. And maybe before they get started on a drive, they'll kiss their finger and touch the Jesus bobblehead, thinking that maybe they'll get some good fortune out of that. Or maybe you know somebody that's kind of Jesus. Maybe you got Jesus plus crystals plus some spirituality mixed in of some sort or another. Maybe some Buddhist practices, something like that. Maybe they're into the all of the spirituality with stones or horoscopes or any of these other things. So it's kind of Jesus plus a few other things. And then maybe we're talking about people that are mostly Jesus, like 75%. Mostly Jesus, 75%. Are there grades in Christianity? People that are kind of in, somewhat in, mostly in? Well, the truth that we have from Jesus is that there are no different grades. Rather, there is a contrast. There's a great divide. There's either destruction or life. One or the other. With Jesus or without. Jesus starts off here by saying, enter through the narrow gate. This, from Jesus, is a call to full commitment when it comes to Jesus. And there's no fooling Jesus when it comes to this. Jesus knows whether or not you have come all the way to him or if you've been holding back. He knows. My wife and I had the opportunity to go up to Door County on Sunday and Monday this last week. Along the way, we stopped at a place called Cave Point County Park. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's on the east side of Door County. And the thing that people really like to do there is go cliff jumping. They will stand on the edge of the rocks right next to Lake Michigan, and they will jump off the cliff right into the water. They have to swim around and find their way back out on the rocks again. I'd say it's probably, 15 feet or so of a jump? It's enough that there's no halfway. There's no mostly jumping in off the rocks. It's all or nothing. There's no taking it slow. There's no halfway. You're committed or you don't do it. And with Jesus, it's all or nothing. And my hope is that you are all in. That you are after true faith. That you are all about giving your life to Christ. That if you haven't done that yet, that you would do it. This is your invitation today to turn to him for real. To stop holding back, thinking that 75% is all right, or coming halfway to Jesus is all right. Jesus is calling you to come with full commitment. Now, this commitment isn't something that you're born into. It's something that each one of you individually has to decide for yourself. It's not something you can fake. Sure, you could show up to church every Sunday and you could act the act, you can walk the walk, you can look like you are a genuine Christian, but you can't fake it when it comes to Jesus. He knows. All of us have been born into sin. All of us need to come before Jesus, repent of our sins, and accept his saving grace. All of us need to enter through the narrow gate. And like I said, if you haven't done that yet, this is your invitation to enter through the narrow gate. What happens if you leave west out of Waupun? Any road west out of Waupun, doesn't matter. Maybe you leave on AW. Maybe you take 33. Maybe you go on some of the back roads. Maybe you go up to 44 and you head west and keep heading west. What eventually happens on any road leading west out of Waupun? Where do you end up? You always end up in Portage, right? It doesn't matter. You go west, you will end up in Portage. It doesn't matter. There's no way to get around it. You will end up in Portage. Now, many, when they think about Jesus, many, when they think about salvation, many, when they think about heaven rather than hell, they believe that there are multiple roads, multiple paths, many worthy religions. If you're good enough, that's a road. Maybe you do this, but then add in a little bit of Jesus. And they have this idea that all roads lead to Christ and lead to salvation. But no. No, you must go through the narrow gate. There's no other points of entry. It's Jesus only. And like I said, it requires repentance. It requires abandoning sin, dropping all self-righteousness, and dropping all self-sufficiency, that you can do this. It's all about the cross, what Jesus has done for us, dying for us for the forgiveness of our sins. It's Jesus only and fully. Are you merely standing at the entrance? If you are, you cannot walk between two opinions. You must step forward and enter through the narrow gate. With school, I got away with going halfway. C's get degrees was my motto, and I got by with that. I got my degree full of C's. But with Jesus, it's about true faith, all or nothing. And again, are you in? Have you entered through the narrow gate? Now comes Jesus' warning. He says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." A number of years ago, I would go down on a regular basis to visit some friends of mine in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, when I go down to Kansas City, there's one thing that's on my mind, one thing that I want to do. I want barbecue. I want barbecue. Whenever I was down there, one of my friends, Dave, he would always try to talk us into going to the first out of two main choices. The first one is Jack Stack's Fiorello. This is the one that he would want to go to. Jack Stack's. Jack Stack's was in a nice, safe suburb of Kansas City. It was a nice restaurant with servers and waiters and table service. It was nearer to my friend's house. This was his preference, to go to Jack Stack's Fiorello's. It was inviting. It was nice. You didn't have to worry about where you were parking when you went to Jack Stack's Fiorello's. So that was the first choice. And I would consider that the wide gate and the broad road that leads to destruction, because they did not have the best barbecue, in my opinion. Rather, I would like to go to number two, to Arthur Bryant's. Arthur Bryant's is kind of an experience. It's in a bad part of town. It's in a completely torn apart neighborhood. In fact, the first time that I ever went there, I was a little bit concerned because they had parking lot attendants. These were just guys, I think paid by the restaurant. I wasn't sure. But there were guys in the parking lot watching the cars to make sure they didn't get broken into. When you get inside, you stand in a long line. There's not table service. You stand in a long line, and you can't quite read all of the menu because of some of the metal grating and stuff that they have between you and them. And when you get up to the window, it's kind of confrontational. You have to be ready with what you want to order, and you gotta be ready, because they want you to get your order in quick so they can get to the next person. But for me, it was the real deal. For me, that's the real deal Kansas City barbecue. And they had this red cream soda. I've never had it anywhere else besides Arthur Bryant's. So I'll say it's the best red cream soda that I've ever had. It's the only red cream soda that I've ever had. Now, to me, the wide gate that Jesus mentions here, he's talking about religion that looks nice, that looks welcoming, that looks inviting, that looks comfortable. This wide gate is attractive to people. The religious people that were gathered around Jesus, this wide gate that he talks about was attractive to them. This is religion that appeals to the flesh. No new birth necessary, no repentance or confession required. Easy to believe. Nothing to give up. With this wide path and wide gate, you can be a friend of the church, and you can also be a friend of the world. Your sin is not going to be spoken against, and you are going to hear what you want to hear with this kind of religion. And I think about the prosperity church that we have here in America, where the main focus is all about hearing what you want to hear, that you are going to have health and you are going to have wealth, that you're going to have every heart's desire if only you just pray hard enough. This is what we want to hear, that we're going to have it all. Or we can talk about the progressive church, where all beliefs are okay, where all roads, no matter what it is, leads to heaven, where all lifestyles are okay, and morals based on what is popular in society, not on the scriptures. Or I could talk about the trendy church. It's not so much about historic creeds and confessions and theology and learning the truth about God's word, but rather it's about the latest styles, about what's new and what's cool. Jesus says that many will enter through this wide gate. Many will walk through this broad road. This is shocking. This is shocking. We want people that come to church, we want them to know Jesus and know him for real. It's shocking that many will grab a hold of religious things, but never actually come to know Jesus. Many, Jesus says, are going to be led to destruction. Like I said, you might say and do the right things, but the point Jesus is getting at here is that there is no internal transformation in their hearts. No real faith, no real coming to Jesus. I don't know if you've heard this before, but it's very popular today to be spiritual but not religious. It's another word for I want to pick and choose what faith is and not follow Jesus as the only way. They are on the road to destruction. Verse 14. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is a hard saying from Jesus. It's a hard saying. I want everybody to come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. All of my friends that right now are far from him, I want to see them come to faith. My family that is far from Jesus, I want to see them come to faith. I want to see everybody I know and love, and I even want to see my enemies and my neighbors that maybe I don't even like, I want to see them come to faith in Jesus. I want to see them saved by the precious blood of Christ. I want them to be able to come to the end of their life and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, because I know that by your grace, I am saved. I want to see every one of them shout that out from the rooftops. This is what I'd like to see, but Jesus brings us a very hard saying here. Only a few will find the narrow gate. More people are going to pass it up than they will enter through it. More will say no thank you than yes Lord. Again, I ask, have you found it? You're not going to stumble into it. You're not going to fall through it accidentally. You must enter. You must seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the way to the narrow gate. You must make the difficult choice for Jesus. You must walk with him step by step, day after day, and it is not going to be the attractive way. Listen to some of the commands that Jesus brings in the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, the world hates Jesus' way. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, do not swear by heaven or earth or your head or Jerusalem or anything else. Make your yes, yes, and your no, no. Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. Do not resist them. Turn the other cheek. Or how about this one? Give to the one who asks you. It's a saying from Jesus. Give to the one who asks you. Right in his Sermon on the Mount. Or how about this one? Love your enemies. This is a command from Jesus. He says, do your giving in secret. Don't show off in prayer or fasting. And he also commands us, do not worry about clothing or food. And he even says, do not worry about tomorrow. The world hates Jesus' way, his narrow path and narrow gate. But for those of us that enter through it, we have incredible hope. When we walk through it, Jesus promises that his yoke is easy and that his burden is light. And when we walk through it, we have the grace of God. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have precious peace with God. And we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts that will lead the way so that we have life and have it abundantly. Now, to finish us out here, how do you know? How do you know that you are on the narrow road? How do you know that you have entered through the small gate? How do you know? There's a few different questions that we could consider. Is living life for the glory of God your passion? Is living life for the glory of God your passion? If it is, you have walked through that narrow gate. Is your life about Him and not about you? Is it about Him and not about you? You're on the narrow path. By the help of God, the Holy Spirit living in you, has all of your pride and arrogance been stripped away? If so, you are on the narrow path. Do you submit to the Master, to Jesus, in all things? What about sin? When it comes to sin, do you enjoy your sin or do you want it gone? If you want it gone, you are on the path. Do you deny yourself and take up your cross as Jesus commands? These are some different things that we can ask ourselves. We can look internally into our hearts. Have we truly come to Jesus? We must be all in when it comes to Christ. There's no halfway. There's no partial. There's no 75%. We have to bow down to the King, and we have to enter through the narrow gate. And like I said, my hope for everyone in my circle of influence, I pray that they come to faith in Christ, that they enter through the narrow gate for real by faith. Shall we pray? Gracious God, I lift up everyone in this room here today, Lord. I pray that you send your Holy Spirit down upon them and that you send your Holy Spirit with power. Lord, I pray that you give them guidance. Maybe there's a few folks here in the room that are standing at the entrance to the gate. They haven't committed to you yet. They haven't taken that step through that narrow gate. They have not started walking down that narrow road. Lord, give them help that they can confidently step through, that they can put all of their garbage aside and start off fresh with you in faith. Lord, we ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen.